Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. It's no consolation, but invariably, it is times of national tragedy that give us national heroes. So it is with the stain on our national conscience that is racism. Some of those who rose to oppose this evil, both black and white, were struck down. Others live on and hold a special place in our society. One such surviving hero is John Lewis, who marched with Martin Luther King Jr. and then went on to serve as U.S. Congressman from Georgia, a seat that he holds today. Despite grieving the loss of his wife of 44 years, Lillian, who passed away on New Year's Eve, Representative Lewis was kind enough to talk with me about Dr. King's legacy and the significance of Barack Obama's inauguration for a second term as president. John, thank you so much for being here with me on State of Belief Radio.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, John. Thanks for asking. But frankly, I have grieved with you and thought about you. I haven't seen you on the plane lately, and I haven't run into you somewhere like we usually do. But honestly, I can't imagine what kind of grief you're experiencing, what kind of questions you're asking. But I'm thinking of you. Indeed, I'm praying for you.
Well, I appreciate that very much, my friend.
This is such a unique moment. Martin Luther King's birthday celebration, the inauguration of the first black president to his second term in office. And honestly, I just really wanted to talk with you. You are the person I associate with this kind of moment, and I longed to know what you would be saying about it. When you hear me talk like that about what's happening and about your role in all of this, what are your thoughts about Monday?
It is very moving that as we celebrate the official holiday for Dr. King, we will be inaugurating the first African-American president for his second term. It's like fate and history coming together. At the same time, this year, during this year, we will be celebrating or commemorating the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation and the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. I've said on many occasions that Abraham Lincoln freed the slave, but Martin Luther King Jr. liberated a nation. And for President Barack Obama to be using the Bible of Abraham Lincoln and the Bible of Martin Luther King Jr. to take the oath of office, it says something about almost divine intervention. Yes. It says something about the spirit of history. Only God Almighty can make this happen. Mm-hmm. That the sons and daughters of slaves, the sons and daughters of slaveholders can come together and embrace the greatness of this moment, of these moments, this period, this time. And we should, we all should embrace it.
John, when you were sitting by that bridge down in Selma, Alabama, wiping blood from your head because of the strikes against your face of those who were against you and civil rights, did you ever think this day would come?
48 years ago, during the attempted march from Selma to Montgomery, I never, ever thought that I would live to see a day like we are witnessing now. I couldn't believe in the possibility but it's here, and we're seeing it. So that's why, from time to time, I share tears of joy and happiness for the distance will come, for the progress we've made, and for those that didn't live to see this day. They didn't live to see this moment.
John, you know, you knew Martin Luther King Jr. very well. A lot of us knew him, but at a distance. You knew him up close. Sometimes now, as I think about those days, I worry that there are going to be a lot of people who only read this in a history book or see it on a video, and they're not going perhaps to remember the great gift that this man brought to this nation with nonviolence. I wonder if there is a story about your time with Martin Luther King Jr., a personal story that none of us would ever know, but that you could share with us today that all of us might know him more personally, might know him more intimately.
The only story that I could tell that means so much to me personally, back in 1957, when I finished high school, at the age of 17, I wanted to attend a little college about 10 miles from my home called Troy State College.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't admit black students. I grew up very poor, and I didn't have the resources to go away to school. And I thought it would be cheaper and wouldn't be a burden on my parents if I just had an opportunity to go to this little school. So I wrote a letter to Dr. King and told him I needed his help to go to Troy State College. He wrote me back and sent me a round-trip Greyhound bus ticket and invited me to come to Montgomery to meet with him. I didn't tell my mother, my father, any of my sisters or brothers, any of my teachers that I sent this letter to Dr. King. But Dr. King responded and invited me to come to Montgomery. In the meantime, I went away to Nashville to a little school called American Baptist College.
Mm-hmm.
And I told one of my teachers that I'd been in contact with Dr. King, and this teacher was a friend of Dr. King. They both had graduated from Morehouse College together in Atlanta. And Martin Luther King Jr. got back in touch with me and suggested when I was home for spring break to come and see him. On a Saturday morning in March 1958, my father drove me to the Greyhound bus station. I boarded a bus and traveled to Montgomery. And a young lawyer by the name of Fred Gray, who now lives in Tuskegee, met me at the Greyhound bus station and drove me to the First Baptist Church in downtown Montgomery, pastored by the Reverend Ralph Abernathy, and ushered me into the pastor's study, the office of the church. I saw Dr. King and Reverend Ralph Abernathy standing behind a desk. I was so scared. I didn't know what to say or what to do. And Dr. King spoke up and said, "Are you the boy from Troy? Are you John Lewis?" And I said to Dr. King, "I am John Robert Lewis." I gave him my whole name. And that was the beginning of my relationship. Now, he didn't know me. He didn't know me from anyone, from Adam's house cat. But he took the time to invite me to come up and talk with him about my interest in going to Troy State. But from that moment, we became friends. And I was inspired to become part of the movement, to work with him. And if it hadn't been for Dr. King, I don't know what would have happened to me. I don't know what would have happened to so many people. I don't know what would have happened to our nation. He really freed and liberated all of us.
Yeah.
Black and white.
John, one more question. You and I have talked about this at other times. We've made a lot of progress, but we're not there yet. On Monday, as the people of this nation watch the inauguration and celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr., what is your word for us as we watch and celebrate?
my simple message would be one of not getting trapped in the sermon, but think about what this means to America, what this means to the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the message of Dr. King, the message of love,
yeah,
the message of faith, the message of hope, the message of peace, the way of nonviolence, that we must be our brothers and our sisters' keepers, that we must look out for those that have been left out and left behind, and that maybe, just maybe, if we do what we must do and do it right and do it in love and looking out for all humankind, then just maybe, America could emerge as a model for the rest of the world. Mm. Dr. King was there in the final analysis, we're one people, we're one family, we're one house, yeah, we're the American house, but we're also the world house. We all live in the same house.
Congressman John Lewis. John, I've told you before, you are a hero of singular importance to me. And honestly, there is nobody but you that I would rather talk with about what's going on in our nation this coming Monday. But it's always an honor to talk with you, and it's always inspirational to talk with you. And amid your grieving and keeping a busy schedule, I am so very grateful to you for taking time to do this interview and to let the people who listen to State of Belief hear the depths of your wisdom. Thank you.
Happy to do it. Thank you so much.